The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Treat the Cause. I'm super stoked to bring this episode to you because the topic I have today I think is one that will resonate with a lot of you, and it has a lot to do with why the root cause of many of our chronic diseases today, and also many times the root cause of chronic pain. So without further ado, what is the root cause? According to a lot of recent evidence and studies of a lot of our modern day diseases, it is chronic low-grade inflammation in the body. So basically, these people have inflammation in their bodies. You know, you can get injured and sprain an ankle, and the ankle swells and it becomes inflamed. That's acute inflammation. But many people that have chronic diseases or chronic pain have this low-grade inflammation that's throughout much of their body. So we're going to talk a lot today about how we get inflamed and how we can become deflamed and to reduce our risk factors that this inflammation causes. So what I mean by chronic diseases, modern day diseases, so we're talking about the biggies, you know, heart disease, stroke, arthritis, diabetes, autoimmune disorders, things that, you know, 100 years ago weren't as big of a deal amongst Americans and throughout the world for that matter, where people 100 plus years ago died more from, you know, acute infectious diseases. And nowadays people are living a little longer, but they're living with these chronic conditions. High blood pressure is another example. Or people that just, you know, they have pain in their bodies every day. And it's not maybe just even one spot, it's in multiple areas. What recent research is telling us is that inflammation is at the heart of a lot of it, and that if we can get inflammation under control in our body, we can reduce one of the major risk factors for developing these chronic conditions. And if we do already have one of these chronic conditions, there's a good chance that by getting inflammation down in the body that we can hope to maybe reverse or at least lessen some of the severity of the conditions that we are living with. So how did we become more of an inflamed society? In other words, a society where a large percentage of our population is walking around with this chronic inflammation in their body. Well, I think a lot of it can be summed up to the standard American diet, which we sometimes use an acronym, we call it the SAD diet. And the standard American diet has changed a lot over the last 50 to 70 to 100 years, where we used to eat foods that were more what I call in their natural state. We ate meat and we ate fruit and we ate vegetables and we had more of a hunter-gatherer agricultural industry where people grew their, raise their own food and raise their own meat and raise their own vegetables and things like that. To now, you go up and down the aisles of the grocery stores, and except for the outside of the grocery store, which is usually your meat and produce section, the inner aisles of the grocery store are all man-made foods. I mean, they're derived from food, but they're processed foods. And these weren't around 100 years ago, folks. And these processed foods contain ingredients in that I'm going to go over shortly that are inflammatory in nature. So they a lot of times call this chronic inflammation the silent killer, because you can be harboring chronic low-grade inflammation in your body and not necessarily exhibit overt signs and symptoms of it. In other words, sometimes for people that have chronic inflammation, the first symptom is they have a heart attack, or they develop significant high blood pressure, but there's no symptoms that are associated with the high blood pressure, or they develop diabetes, but they don't have any obvious symptoms until it gets quite far along. So, you know, the standard American diet tailors itself to getting food addictions, because most of our processed food is loaded with added sugar. And sugar is interesting because sugar acts on the brain, folks, like crack cocaine. So I always remember the commercials from the 80s and 90s would be say no to drugs or say no to crack. Well, these drugs, when they're consumed, they work on the areas of the brain that basically are that control whether we get addicted to things or not. And so they work on the pleasure and reward centers of the brain, and it's easy for somebody to get addicted to crack cocaine. Well, interestingly, they find, folks, when they study the effects of sugar on the brain, it works on the same pathways. It works in the same way as crack cocaine. And so I like to jokingly say that we are all dietary crackheads. We're all looking for our next sugar fix, our next sugar high, and a large percentage of us as Americans are addicted to sugar. Even if you're not yourself intentionally adding sugar to things, it's in just about everything you buy, folks, as far as processed food. Anything you're buying in those middle aisles of the grocery store has things like that in it. So that's just an example of how we've gotten here. We eat tons of sugar as a society. Sugar is inflammatory. Sugar causes addiction, just like crack cocaine. And then, you know, hey, 100 years ago, folks, we didn't have drive-thrus. And now you can get food just in within minutes at a simple drive-thru. And I like to call the drive-thru a drive-by self-shooting. And hey, I've been there, I've done that. But the drive-thru, a lot of the foods that we get through there are inflammatory. And most of them are processed. And so that's a hallmark of the standard American diet. We've kind of gotten away from the basics, the things that we know are good for us, and we're consuming tons of processed food, tons of sugar, tons of fast food, and it's having a real effect. So we're going to dig into this a little bit more. I'm going to talk about foods that are inflammatory and foods that are anti-inflammatory, so you can get an idea a little bit more of how you want to change your diet to become more anti-inflammatory in nature. If you got a question about this, reach out to us at 507-752-7650. Look us up online at redrockchiro.com or email us at redrockchiro@centrytel.net. When you click on our website at redrockchiro.com, you will find a tab for our show called Treat the Cause. When you click on that tab, you will find archives to many of our past shows. And so we cover a lot of different topics, so there's a bunch of them there, folks. So avail yourself to that information. And one of my passions in clinical practice is I am board certified in functional medicine. Functional medicine, folks, is all about helping people get to the root causes. And so that's what this deflamed diet stuff that we're going to talk about is about helping people to get to the root cause. You know, I'm also a board certified chiropractic orthopedist, so I have people that come into me with chronic pain every day. Seems like about 80% of my practice now is people with chronic pain. Well, this inflammation issue that we're addressing, folks, is a big part of it. It's a big part of the root cause. And so let's dig back into the foods that are inflammatory, and then let's talk about what are inflammatory foods. And the big thing is you want to get to a state in your body where you are deflamed and not inflamed. So it's very simple. There's only five things on my list that are, we know from studies and we know from our modern diet, that are inflammatory. Number one, we've already talked about briefly, but it's refined sugar. I'm not talking about sugar that you find that naturally occurs in things like honey or fruit. I'm talking about the processed sugar that is added to different things. And we talked about how it works on areas of the brain that support addiction. And there's a reason why, folks, they add this to so many things. One, it tastes good, but two, it's very addictive, and it is highly inflammatory to your system. So if you know you're addicted to sugar and you have added sources of sugar in your diet on a regular basis, folks, you can be reasonably assured that you're inflamed. Number two are refined grains. So number one is sugar. Number two are refined grains. So this would be things like wheat flour and any grain where they process it and mill it and then use it and add it to things. Because most of these grains, folks, when they are processed and refined, they strip all the nutrients out. That's why when you buy bread, it will, like white bread, for instance, probably a classic example of what I'm talking about. All the nutrients are stripped out of that, and then they have to add in artificial vitamins back in, and they call it healthy. And folks, refined grains are highly inflammatory. So things like cereal and pasta and crackers and most bread that's non-whole grain, breading that they put on fish and breading that they put on chicken breasts and roasted chicken and all that. The chicken's not inflammatory, but the breading is, folks. And when you go through the drive-thru, the beef isn't the bad part, it's the bun, folks. Those refined grains that are used in there are highly inflammatory. The average American diet, we get 20% of our calories from sugar and another 20% from refined grains. And so these grains then, they turn them into flour, of course. And that's number three, is just grain flour products. And all those things I mentioned, flours in just about every type of processed food on the shelves. And so, you know, you might think, well, I'm just eating some wheat, but wheat that's processed and put on all these different processed foods. If you're eating processed foods, you're getting that multiple times a day and from multiple sources. So refined sugar, it's inflammatory. Refined grains and grain flour products are inflammatory. Fourthly, trans fats. Trans fats are fats that basically have been created in a lab through a process called hydrogenation. So when you read on labels on many of the oils that you buy, margarine or Crisco are prototypical examples of this, what I'm talking about. They contain these trans fats. And when you read on the label, it'll say sometimes things like partially hydrogenated soybean oil or partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil, or anytime it says partially hydrogenated, it's a chemical process that they've put it through to turn it into a trans fat for a longer, more stable shelf life. Well, turns out these trans fats are highly inflammatory. Do you know, and a lot of nutritionists say the statement that I'm going to say, what is the safe level of trans fat in the human diet? The answer, folks, is none. There is no amount that is safe. Any amount of it is inflammatory. So if you're eating a lot of these processed things like margarine, Crisco, things of that nature, loaded with trans fats. Most of your processed foods are loaded with trans fats, folks. So, and if you're getting 40-50% of your diet from refined sugar, refined grains, and then these also have many of these products that we're buying have trans fats in them, is it any wonder why we are inflamed, folks? Finally, fifthly, is refined omega-6 seed oils. I think this is the most pervasive one of all, folks. So this is like corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, peanut oil, canola oil. There's a whole bunch of them, folks. These seed oils are loaded with what are called omega-6 fatty acids. Some omega-6 is okay, folks, but omega-6 to omega-3 ratio should be about 4-1. Some authors even put it should be a 1-1 ratio. Most Americans are 20-40-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. When that ratio gets out of whack, folks, that produces an inflammatory state in the body. So most Americans are eating too much sugar, they're eating too much refined grains, they're eating grain flour products from these refined grains, they're eating trans fats, and they're eating way too many seed oils. And so when you go to most restaurants and you order French fries, what do you think they cook that in? Processed seed oils. Any of your deep fried food in restaurants, it's cooked in processed seed oils. And so people in America, they go through the drive-thru and they think, well, in America now we have this big thing, well, eating beef is unhealthy. That is such baloney, folks. If you go through the drive-thru and eat a Big Mac, it's the bun. It's the ketchup on the bun and the burger that's loaded with sugar. That's a problem. It's the dressing that they put on there that is loaded with omega-6 fatty acids and trans fatty acids. And that's the culprit, folks. It's not the beef patty. That's probably the only thing healthy on the whole thing. And so those are the inflammatory foods. Now let's talk about deflaming or anti-inflammatory foods. So number one on the list is grass-fed meat and wild game. And even if you can't get grass-fed meat, all meat is basically anti-inflammatory, including bacon, folks. Bacon is anti-inflammatory. Wild-caught fish is anti-inflammatory. It'll knock your inflammation down. The five wild-caught fish that I like to see people eat, the acronym I use is called SMASH. Salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring. Those are anti-inflammatory, folks. Eat them. Eat meat. Eat wild game. Eat shellfish. Eat chicken. Eat omega-3 eggs. Omega-3 eggs are basically the hens were fed a diet, a lot of times of flaxseed and things that, and products or foods that contain more higher amounts of omega-3. If they're eating higher amounts of omega-3, it gets into the egg at a higher ratio. Vegetables, of course, are anti-inflammatory. Leafy greens or salad is anti-inflammatory. Fruit, all kinds of fruit is anti-inflammatory. Tubers and roots, so potatoes, yams, sweet potatoes, are anti-inflammatory. Most nuts, folks, are anti-inflammatory. Raw or dry roasted, but not the ones that they cook in the omega-6 seed oils. You got to watch the labels for those. Then things like omega-3 seeds, so hemp, chia, and flax, they're anti-inflammatory. One of my favorites, dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is anti-inflammatory. Spices of all kinds, so things that we put in our food to liven up the taste, folks, those are anti-inflammatory. Cooking oils, olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, and then things like butter, cream, all are anti-inflammatory. And a little bit of red wine, and if you're going to drink alcohol, so red wine or stout beer, and even coffee and tea, especially green tea, are anti-inflammatory. So some people think, well, if I can't eat refined grains and I gotta give up sugar and I want to get these grains out of my diet, and what am I gonna eat? You eat the way our ancestors ate. You eat meat, you eat eggs, you eat vegetables, you eat fruit, you eat nuts, you liberally spice your vegetables and your meat with all kinds of different spices. You cook with olive oil or coconut oil or avocado oil. You drink water, you drink coffee, you drink green tea. And if you do want a little bit of alcohol in your diet, red wine or stout beer. I personally don't drink, but the bottom line is if you want to include a little of that in your diet, those are the sources. We'll try to talk more about this in some upcoming episodes, folks. But if a person were to shift their diet away from inflammatory foods and replace those inflammatory foods with some of the things I talked about, they would begin a process in their body where they would start to deflame themselves. In other words, inflammation levels would start to come down. And guess what happens with those people? Boy, I'm not as stiff in the morning when I wake up as I used to be, and my joints don't hurt as bad as they used to hurt, and boy, my blood sugars have been better under control lately, and my blood pressure has been getting better readings lately, and I've been sleeping better, and I feel better, and I have more energy. Lots of positive side effects, folks. The bottom line is, We are almost all in the United States inflamed. And this is the driver of the chronic diseases that we're seeing. So if we as a society are going to get on top and reduce these chronic diseases, we have to shift our diet away from these inflammatory foods and get into an area where we're kind of going back to what we used to eat 75 to 100 years ago in America, and we need to eat foods that deflame us. This is just common sense, folks. This is common sense stuff. I encourage you to get the book called The Deflame Diet by Dr. David Seaman. He is one of the best chiropractic physicians and clinical nutritionists that I know of. I've read a lot of his work, taken some of his webinars, and I highly respect him. But he has a great book written for average everyday folks like you and I, and so that we can understand this and learn to apply these principles. But so this isn't a diet per se to lose weight or to, you know, some fad diet. This is science. This is common sense. This is getting back to the roots of what we were like 100 years ago or so in America. If you want to reclaim your health, deflame your body, and follow the deflame diet. So we'll talk more about this next time. Thanks for listening to me today. I hope this sparks something in your head and that you want to learn more about this. We'll talk to you real soon, and thanks for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.